Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
All right, this is episode 246. Thanks for coming back. And we've got a great show this week, a little bit shorter of an episode. We are going to be having a reading from the Midnight Freemasons, as well as some news about the Midnight Freemasons, and we're going to talk a little bit about our libraries, and we're going to have illustrious Brother Stephen L. Harrison come on for the Masonic Minute. So before we get into too much stuff, we can talk about the news a little bit. In the news, a lot of you have been asking about the Scottish Rite, the northern jurisdiction, the southern jurisdiction, what is the difference, and why the difference, what happened. And some of you don't even know that there were jurisdictions, and I didn't either, so don't feel weird or stupid. I didn't know either until I actually joined, the night of my joining. I actually tell a little bit about that in a piece that I wrote for the Working Tools magazine way back a year or two ago, I think it was at this point. But in light of a lot of the recent events regarding the Scottish Rite, we've had the Celebrate the Craft for the Southern Jurisdiction. We have coming up in the future, November 12th, the Scottish Rite Day, which I believe is a joint celebration between both jurisdictions. And this latest survey that came out, which was just bizarre in nature, in the fact that didn't know it was coming out. I received it early in the morning. It seemed to come from the Sovereign Grand Commander, McNaughton, which was odd in itself. Usually these things come out and they're called team updates. The survey itself was very different. I will say it was bad. It was poorly put together, and I don't mean that in any disrespect to the brothers who may have put that together. It just was not done very well, or perhaps it was done for the wrong reasons. It was stated that it was trying to gauge certain things about men in the fraternity, whether it was Blue Lodge or Scottish Rite. And primarily, the takeaway that I received taking this survey was that the questions were very much oriented about whether or not you feel that memorization is the reason why men don't get involved, or if you feel that men don't progress through the line at the Scottish Rite because they don't want to memorize things. Or perhaps people would feel more comfortable if they were able to review the degrees at home in the privacy of their own home on a service like YouTube or something along those lines. And I found it really disconcerting that these were the themes of something along these lines. Not so long ago, I may have gotten in a little bit of trouble for reposting a post by one of my favorite blogs, which is, of course, The Past Bastards. These guys, you know, they make comical references to goofy things that go on in our fraternity, and they've made fun of the Northern Jurisdiction a few times about their ability to come out with new and changing ritual every year, and the video degrees, you know, they kind of poke fun at and rib, but it seemed like the joke became reality. And we did talk a little bit about this on the TMR episode last week and in the news part of it. So there were so many questions going around, and I just decided, well, let me update that piece that I wrote for the Working Tools a couple years ago. Let me update that and add a little bit more. And I went ahead and I posted it up on the Midnight Freemasons this last Friday. I'm really hoping you guys check it out. It should answer a lot of your questions. I tried to be objective and just report the differences and some of the similitudes between both of the jurisdictions. I think both jurisdictions are fantastic in their own rights. No pun intended. There is a flavor difference. And what flavor do you prefer, really? I mean, the only issue that I find is that if you don't like, you know, old-time kind of degrees and you're down south, well, you're not going to be readily available to just drive north and see northern jurisdiction degrees and participate in a valley up north. And similarly, if you're not into the more social and networking kind of fraternity side that the Northern Jurisdiction has taken, it's not always readily available for you to drive south. So I myself kind of live in an area where I can drive an hour to my valley of Chicago, or I can drive 4 hours and I can be in St. Louis for their reunion. So I'm kind of in the middle in both worlds, and I've attended both. And so I have a little bit of a unique vision in that I've seen both. And by no means am I the only one who has done that. There's been thousands of people who do this. To my knowledge, not a lot of people have reported both sides of this Scottish Rite. So I hope you gained some insight from checking that out. Speaking of the Midnight Freemasons, we are making some changes in an effort to bring you fresh content and really make a difference. We are going to be moving some of our contributors who don't have a lot of time to write these days. We're going to be moving them to an emeritus page where they will still always be Midnight Freemasons. That we're going to have their names listed there, and of course they will still be writing pieces, I'm sure, from time to time. And we are going to focus on our main contributors and have them make sure we are writing at least one piece every single month. And I think we'll be doing pretty well if we can do that. And, you know, Midnight Freemasons has become one of the premier, and if I do say so, the best Masonic blog out there. I am biased. We are going to be really focusing on content. Brother Adam Thayer wrote a great piece earlier this week asking what you guys wanted, what you guys like, what you guys didn't like, and we received just great feedback. Really great feedback on the diversity of topics. And we notice the numbers don't do as well when we have two or three or four posts of the same nature. That would be maybe they're too deep dives, or maybe they're shallows. Too many of the same thing in a row, our numbers kind of fall off. So we want to make sure that we're making a severe impact to you guys by having, you know, the same kind of fresh content, but at the same time, we want to make sure that we're making you say, wow, every day that we put something out. So we're really going to be dedicated to that, and we hope you guys continue to check it out. You're going to look for some changes to the website as well. You're going to see an overhaul of the website. You know, websites need to get overhauled every couple years, otherwise things start to get looking stale. We don't want to have a GeoCities site on our hands. So look for updates to the website and the look here in the next few weeks. If you happen upon it one night late and it looks goofy, and then you come back to it and it's back to normal, that's because I'm probably up messing with it live. So I do apologize for any inconvenience that may cause in your late night readings. Some exciting news from Labor to Refreshment. Our founder from the Midnight Freemasons, Brother Todd E. Creason, is back at work publishing 2 to 3 articles every month on Labor to Refreshment. You'll be able to find those. We're going to have those that are going to pop up links to them all the time on our Facebook feed. So make sure you like us on Facebook so you get those articles all the time. Or just subscribe to him or us, or however you want to do it, via RSS. Or the point being, we'll have those available for you all the time in one spot. So right now I'd like to go into this week's piece that we're going to cover, which is the next part in the Bringing Back the Light series, by Brother Todd E. Creason. Now, this piece is actually interesting because Brother Chris Hodapp linked it on his blog just recently, and I'll talk a little bit about that after the piece. So here we go. Bringing Back the Light, Part 5, The Return of the Rite, by Todd E. Creason, 33rd Degree. The Royal Arch had an important role in Freemasonry in Homer, Illinois, from the beginning of Freemasonry's story in that community. In fact, it was Royal Arch Chapter funds that built the Homer Temple in 1896. But the Homer Royal Arch Chapter's light went out just a few years ago. Its long history ended with a little more than a note in the lodge minutes and the surrender of the charter to the Illinois Grand Chapter. We took the metal Royal Arch sign down from beside our entry door outside and tossed it in the junk room. There was little that could be done to save it at that time. The lodge struggled each month just to get a quorum to open. The lodge knew when the chapter went under, that if something didn't change soon, they'd be next. A lot has been done in the last 3 years, but the lodge has a long way to go. The last thing you'd expect us to be thinking would be about bringing back the Royal Arch. But that's exactly what a few of us were thinking. And we began talking about it in earnest with the Grand Chapter of Illinois. We had some different ideas about what a chapter might look like in Homer. We didn't seek to reform the original chapter. We thought we had a far better idea. We wanted a new chapter, a more regional chapter. We wanted a chapter with a particular focus on Masonic education and member development. We wanted a chapter that wouldn't only thrive, but could serve as an education resource to the other York Rite chapters and Blue Lodges in the area. And the Grand Chapter liked that idea very much. And that's how the idea for Admiration Chapter was born. In fact, it is still going through the process of being chartered, but in Illinois, there are a few chapters doing work that is getting more talk and attention than Admiration Chapter in Homer, Illinois. Even before we've got a charter, we are growing rapidly. We have great meetings, short on business, and long on excellent educational programs. During our last meeting, we had a moderated discussion on civility that was probably one of the best meetings I've ever attended. A few years ago, we had chapter degrees at Homer Lodge. 9 candidates went through those degrees, including Worshipful Master of Homer Lodge No. 199. There were probably more Masons in the Homer Temple that evening than had ever been congregated in that building in many decades. We understood that the chapter would play a key role in bringing back Homer Lodge. In fact, we believe that Admiration Chapter will help a lot of lodges because our focus is on education. That's what our new members want, and that's what we're so often failing to provide. Boring meetings are much of the reason we can't get our members coming to our meetings or retaining the interest of our new members. It's going so well with Admiration Chapter that even the Grand Chapter is looking at some of the things we're trying to do and how they might apply some of those same principles at the state level, providing our members with good education and resources so that they can continue to explore and come to understand and apply all that Freemasonry has to teach to their own lives. As I said in my first book, Famous American Freemasons, our fraternity has always attracted industrious men. It still does. Todd E. Creason, 33rd degree. So there you have another great piece to this Bringing Back the Light series. I think there's 2 more that are coming, and I'm really excited to bring those to you just as soon as they're out. Now, of course, we will take a break from this. We'll take a 1-week break in a couple weeks here because there was a break in the series because of Star Wars Day. So instead of posting Part 6, we actually went with Star Wars Day. So we're going to stay a week behind on this because we want to make sure that if you like the series, you're heading off to the Midnight Freemasons blog and reading it there first. So I did say that I would read a little bit about what's going on from Chris Hodapp's page when he actually talked about it. And I'll just read quickly what he had to say, which was, Brother Todd Creason, author of Famous American Freemasons, has a short piece over on the Midnight Freemasons site today about something that is rarely heard of in the U.S. anymore. The organization and chartering of a new Royal Arch chapter, Admiration Chapter in Homer, Illinois, is on its way to receiving a charter and redefining what the American Royal Arch Chapter might be. In the UK, the Royal Arch degree is seen as an essential and direct adjunct to the Master Mason degree, and it was once conferred in the same lodge. That same attitude was not transported to the United States, and what we call the York Rite here is not really known in other countries. The York Rite in America is in serious trouble. When the Shrine removed their former requirement that men had to not only be Masons, but also had to go through the degrees of the Scottish or York Rite before then qualifying for the Shrine membership, both of those organizations got a swift kick in the pants. The Scottish Rite dealt with this in different ways. The ancient accepted Scottish Rite in the southern jurisdiction concentrated on creating stacks of new and reviewed research and study material available for their members and clung to Pike. The northern Masonic jurisdiction feverishly rewrote degrees and has resorted to presenting more and more on video. But the York Rite did little to respond to the situation over the last dozen years or so. Part of this simply because their decentralized 3-body statewide and national governance system. There is no single organization that directs the York Rite as a whole, which prevents any sort of combined direction or large-scale cooperation. In addition, many states have slowly realized that there are just plain and simple too many scattered chapters, councils, and commanderies anymore for the number of new members they're getting and keeping. Those individual groups have experienced an even more alarming plummet in active, or even just paying, members than the Blue Lodges have, and only the most dedicated candidates for degrees come back and participate after their experiences. If Blue Lodges have trouble filling their 7-member primary officer lines, chapters, councils, and commanderies are often struggling even worse, partially because they have so many officer stations required, and also because of the increased memory work needed for degrees. I once asked a national office holder in the General Grand Chapter why a Mason should join the York Rite. He didn't tell me about the beautiful degrees or their historic part in the larger picture of Masonry, or even how they affected him personally. He answered, well, there's only one opportunity to become an officer and worshipful master in Blue Lodge. But there's 3 in the York Rite bodies. Nobody ever became a Freemason because they wanted to be a lodge officer. I promise. The degrees of the York Rite are extremely moving. I happen to think the Order of the Temple is conferred by the Knights Templar is the drop-dead coolest degree in all of Masonry, but maybe that's just me. Well, Chris, it's me too, buddy. They are more personal in that they are conferred in a more intimate lodge-type setting than the Scottish Rite degrees, and they specifically continue that story thread of Solomon's Temple first encountered in the Craft Lodge. It is a degree system well worth continuing and preventing its extinction. So, Admiration Chapter is taking the tack of making sure business meetings are streamlined, but more important that they are providing some kind of education or research material at their gatherings. They are trying to make their chapters more interesting, more memorable, more special, more enjoyable than what they have seen elsewhere. Besides just conferring degrees on men who don't come back, they are stressing quality over quantity. I wish them the best and hope they succeed. Chris, thanks again for covering the great story. I know it meant a lot to Todd. He said it really meant his week. If you're listening, Chris, thanks so much. So everybody, please head on over to, of course, the Midnight Freemasons. You know all about that. But head on over to freemasonsfordummies.blogspot.com, which is, of course, Brother Chris Hodapp's, illustrious Brother Chris Hodapp's blog page, where he always has really just some of the best news on Freemasonry that's come out. So next, let's check in with illustrious Brother Stephen L. Harrison for the Masonic Minute.
Born in Culpeper County, Virginia in 1790, Brother Joshua Pilcher, like so many others, moved to the Louisiana Territory to seek the opportunities afforded in the western frontier. An ardent Freemason, in 1815 he was instrumental in the formation of Missouri Lodge No. 12 and later became its first master. A well-connected businessman, he was a good friend of such influential pioneer Freemasons as General William Clark and Senator Thomas Hart Benton, and was the cousin of Thomas F. Riddick, who eventually became Missouri's first Grand Master. He also held the rank of Major in the U.S. Army. In 1820, Pilcher co-founded the Missouri Fur Company, a trading group associated with Freemasons. He played a key role in the founding of the Grand Lodge of Missouri and may have been one of those under consideration as its first Grand Master. In 1838, he succeeded General Clark as the Superintendent of Indian Affairs and had such a strong friendship with Senator Benton that he served as Benton's second in his infamous duel with Charles Lucas. Brother Pilcher passed away in early June of 1843. The evening before his death, he attended an extravagant banquet with his friend Senator Benton, and his body was discovered the following morning in his bed. The funeral of the founder of the Missouri Fur Company and a true pioneer of the West was an auspicious affair. He was buried in Christ Church Cemetery in St. Louis in a special metal casket imported from Europe. And that was it for 53-year-old Brother Pilcher's short but productive life. Except, that is, until a half century later, when Brother Joshua made another brief appearance. On September 30th, 1892, the good people of St. Louis woke up to read a headline in the St. Louis Dispatch which screamed, "It is weird." The article said on the previous day, men working near the old Christ Church Cemetery had discovered a highly ornamented metal casket. The casket contained no nameplate, but it bore the trademark of an English manufacturer. The article went on to say the remains inside the casket were surprisingly well preserved, but withered a short time after being exposed. The discovery caused a minor stir in town, and subsequent research on the curious finding led to other newspaper articles and speculation about the identity of the body. Dispatch reporters eventually determined the body was that of Warren Pilcher, who had died following a banquet attended by Senator Thomas Hart Benton. Reports continued to unfold and chronicle the life of Warren Pilcher. In the meantime, Warren Pilcher himself, the grandnephew of Brother Joshua Pilcher, watched the story develop with great amusement. He let the case of mistaken identity rage on until one report claimed Warren had at one time been a debtor and died owing back rents. At this, Warren Pilcher appeared at the offices of the Dispatch and revealed the body was that of his great-uncle Joshua, who had founded the Missouri Fur Company. Great speculation followed concerning the life and death of Brother Pilcher, including reports that some unnamed scoundrel may have murdered him with robbery as a motive. Warren even reported that, at his death, Joshua's servants had come forward claiming to know who was involved, but demanded to be given part of his estate before giving details of the dastardly plot. Pilcher's relatives refused to play along with the scheme, and the matter died. Brother Pilcher's body was reburied at Bellefontaine Cemetery in St. Louis, where it rests today after its brief but adventurous return from the dead. For the Whence Came You podcast, this is Steve Harrison with the Masonic Minute.
All right, really cool with Brother Stephen L. Harrison, always bringing the goods. If you enjoyed that, we have 33 or 34 more on YouTube. Please check them out. They are wonderful pieces, and they are in video format, so you can actually check out the videos that we've created for these. I believe I did one or two of them, maybe just one of them, actually. And Brother Stephen L. Harrison has done all of the rest of the videos, and he's done such a fantastic job in putting these together for us. So please go on to our YouTube channel, WCY Podcast, or Whence Came You, and check it out. There's 33 or 34, 35 of these videos now, plus the other ones that we've made as promotional for the fraternity. Check them out, share them with people, share them with your lodges, and enjoy them. Next, let's talk a little bit about libraries. So I'm going to let you go right now, and I'm going to be back on my audio recorder, rolling around in my armchair in front of my bookshelf, talking about some of the books I've got. So, the voice quality is going to be a little bit different. I am not in front of my studio mic. I'm recording with a mobile recorder. So I'll talk to you guys in just a minute. So somebody asked me recently what Masonic books or what occult books are in my actual home library. What books do I have that are physical copies of books, books that I've read that are in my actual library. So the voice quality on this part of the recording is actually a little bit different. I'm actually sliding along in my roller chair here, going through my bookshelf. And I'm looking at the different books that I've got going on. And some books, I think, people are always asking, well, you're fairly well read. What are you reading? So my book collection is fairly large, not as big as, say, Brother Mike Shirley's, who has an amazing library. But, you know, I have a typical gamut of books, some being things like conspiracy theories and other secret societies for dummies. I've got things like The Complete Idiot's Guide to Lost Civilizations, Extraterrestrial Archaeology, Early Civilizations, The Anti-Gravity Handbook. I've got books like We Came in Peace, the original 1970s version before they took all the good stuff out of it. I've got Spies and Espionage, Electronic Gadgets for the Evil Genius, nothing but schematics. Books on John Adams, Tesla, John Steinbeck, Citizen Spy by Brian Knarr, a fellow brother. Books on Houdini, Esoteric Anatomy, The Meaning of Relativity by Albert Einstein. What do I have that's Masonic in nature, I guess? I've got books, some newer ones like The Secret School of Wisdom by Joseph Wages. I've got In the Age of Mankind, several early books dealing with religion like Aborigine Myths, Legends, and Fables. I came across that gem from Brother Wayne Greenlee. We've got a book called The Working Tools of Leadership by Michael J. Kirkab. It's No Secret, Real Men Wear Aprons by Peter Lazar. Born in Blood, A Bridge to Light, Book of Wisdom, The Hiram Key, Freemason's Tales from the Craft, The Lost Keys of Freemasonry, The Freemasons, Freemasonry Crosses the Mississippi, Laudable Pursuit, Walking with Hiram. Of course, I've got my Scottish Rite Manual, Monitor, and Guide, my Mackey's Encyclopedias from 1911, the Jefferson Bible, Famous American Freemasons, Volume 1 and 2, Solomon's Builders, Freemasonry Defined. We've got books like Man's Religions, The Leyden Papyrus, The Mythic Tarot, Freemasonry in Black and White, Earning Freemasonry. We've got Jesus Christ, Son of God, which is Son as S-U-N. That was actually recommended to me by Brother Greg Kaminsky of the Occult of Personality podcast. I've got fairly decent fiction books, Earth to the Moon, some French translations of some original Jules Verne works, History of the Black Hawk War, which is actually the Black Hawk ritual for the Royal Arch, one of my favorite little dime novels, Teddy Roosevelt and the Rough Riders, unabridged copies of Treasure Island. Difficult read, actually. That was a difficult book. I have a really old book. It's called The Civil War in Pictures, published a number of years ago, and a fairly delicate book with brilliant stuff in there. And of course, got some of my other favorites, Parliamentary Freemasonic Law, published way back. I think that one would be probably like the Robert's Rules of Freemasonry, but way earlier. I've got some clandestine ritual books like Ronian's Handbook, which, you know, those were published right here in Chicago, I believe. Totally clandestine in nature. Ritual books from different states, things like that. One of my favorite books, I've got a book called Doodling with Jim Henson. That's a really good book. It kind of helps you pull out psychologically your archetypes within your conscience. It's pretty neat. But anyway, those are the books that are in my library. Do me a favor, hit us up on the Facebook page and let us know what kind of books are in your library. What are you reading all the time? And talk to a good friend of mine, George, who I confessed to him that currently I'm reading the Pentateuch by his recommendation with some translation notes. It's a brilliant book. If you guys get a chance to check it out, I would highly recommend it. But you know, we talked and I said, what is the issue here? Because I am consistently hopping from book to book. People say, what are you reading right now? And I must list five or six books. And they say, how do you keep them all straight, RJ? And I keep them straight. But the issue is that I can't hold down a single storyline or continuity line for too long. I've got to keep switching, keep things fresh. Sometimes I might get a little bored with something. I'll walk away from it a little while and then I'll come back to it. And George told me, well, that's totally normal. And I said, really, is it? He said, yeah. So maybe it is normal. I guess that's a good thing. But let me know what's in your library. What are you guys reading, Masonic or not? I'd like to talk a little bit about, you know, our reading habits. Brother Juan Sepulveda did a great episode back in the day about managing your reading list and things like that. We've talked about it on the Masonic Roundtable as well. So right now I am currently reading, actually, I believe only four books, that being the last issue of Haredom that came out from the Scottish Rite Research Society. I am also reading the Pentateuch, as I stated. I am also working through, for the second time, Nos and Nos's book, the seventh edition of Man's Religions. It's an older book, but it goes from animism all the way to present day. And I think that, oh, I'm also continually reading Chronicles of the Future, and that's it right now, I think. I'm probably reading more, but whatever. So, like I said, drop me a line. Let me know what you guys are reading on the Facebook page. Take pictures of your favorite books. Throw those TMR bookmarks in there. I know if you buy a pin from us, I send a TMR bookmark your way, sometimes two or three. So mark your favorite books. Toss them up with the hashtag TMR or Sparklight. You know, that campaign, I think, is pretty much, I don't know if it's over or we're continuing it, but in any case, you know, toss them up there so we can see what you're doing and tweet it out and put the pictures up for TMR and for Whence Came You and throw them out there. Put them on Instagram, whatever you want to do, but get people reading. It's really, really important. One of the memes that I shared quite some time ago, which was, you know, the average person can read like a 400 to 500 page book. If they read at the average pace and take the time, something like an hour a day or whatever, can finish this 400 to 500 page book in 9 days. 9 days to get through like that big of a book at the average reading speed. I think I read a little bit faster than average, and I read a little bit slower if I want to make sure I'm comprehending everything. It depends on the technicality of the text that I'm reading. For instance, the Pentateuch takes a little longer because I'm reading, I don't know if they would be considered stanzas or not. I'm reading pieces of it and then reading the quotations, and you're doing comparative reading the whole way through. Share your books. Let's take a look at what we've got. Okay, so there you have it. Some of the books, you know, we talked a little bit about. Share the conversation on Facebook. Let's talk books. Let's see what you guys are reading, whether it's Masonic or not. What inspires you? Use those bookmarks that I've been sending all of you and that TMR has been sending you. And let's talk about it. Now is the point in the show where I'd just like to ask you and say thank you to everybody who supports this program with your PayPal donations and your pin sales. These things are tremendous, and they just put so much into this program, and they make this happen every single week. A lot of people don't realize this show doesn't really go dark. We do 50 shows every single year. If I'm not on the show, Brother Adam Thayer fills in, and we get it done. This is listener-supported Masonic education, so without you, it does not happen. I do really appreciate it. All of the donations and things, we have been going strong now since I want to say 2011, maybe 2012. And this is one of the longest running, if not the longest running, Masonic podcast out there. And it's not showing any signs of dwindling off. Every month, the numbers go up by about 2,000 to 3,000 listeners or downloads. And we're really lucky to have that. I can't thank you guys enough. In terms of organic growth, that is probably actually 2,000 to 3,000 more downloads every month equates to about 200 to 300 new brothers listening every month. And so we're getting quite a few listeners. Really do appreciate it. Share the shows with your friends. You know, every Wednesday I publish just the MP3 link so you can download it and burn it to a disc or do whatever you want to do with it and mail it off to an older member. Maybe he hasn't been to lodge in years. So I just want to say thanks for all that you guys are doing. And so to support the show, please visit wcypodcast@gmail.com. Click on support the show and you can look at several places. You can do some shopping and PayPal donations if you want to. If you're into healthy living and fitness and things like that, please check out our links to onnit.com. Click through our links. That way they know where to send a little bit of love if you do some shopping there. As our thanks to you for doing that, please use the promo code WCY and you'll get 10% off your purchase. The same goes true with freemasonryart.com. Our good friend, brother, and all around awesome dude, Juan Sepulveda, does some great things over there. He has great artwork, some of the best I've ever seen. In fact, my favorite piece of Masonic artwork he is the creator of. So please check it out and do some shopping there. Use the promo code WCY. Again, you'll get 10% off and he'll send just a little bit back to us to help this program out. If you like the show enough to wear a lapel pin, go ahead and buy one. We've got them on the limited edition shop. If we get enough going, we may go with a second run, a little bit different of a design. And again, just a big thanks to our donors. I know who you are, and I really do appreciate the monthly contributions. They really do make all the difference in the world. So again, thank you so much. And we will be back next week with some additional great content, but we're going to wrap it up for this week. So again, check out the Midnight Freemasons Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And in the words of Marty McFly, try to keep up and watch for the changes. Check out TMR, the Masonic Roundtable, that is going live every Tuesday night at 10/9 Central. And as I am slowly working on different projects, I have been having this nagging little feeling in the back of my brain telling me to finish up the series Lodge of Gold on the Masonic Radio Theater. That may be coming at some point. I'm making no promises because we all know what happens when we make promises. I guess that's it, guys. I'll talk to you all next week. Thank you so much for everything and listening to this show and making it the best Masonic podcast it can be. Until next week, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.